How long do we have? Until
45 minutes.
Until quarter to
11.
Three quarters of an hour. that's. I think that's plenty for what we have to share with you this morning. I think there's no doubt that we as a species and as individuals are in trouble. We really are messed up in trouble, aren't we? And I think one of the reasons, you might say the main reason for our being in trouble is that we're stuck. Stuck in a special place, which is not good to be stuck in. And we have, Catherine and I, have three quarters of an hour to get a bit unstuck. I mean this very seriously. Unstuck. Now, I think we would all agree that what we are is an important question. What one is a very important question. And what one is depends on where you are looking at one from. What I am depends on where you are looking at me from. The distance of the observer determines the nature of the observed. I mean, this is common old garden relativity, isn't it? Now, looked at from exactly there, well, there plus, I look at myself from there, and I perceive, with the aid of a mirror and information I get from my friends, looked at from here, I perceive a human being, and along with that human being, a price tag of that attached to that human being, which is a very important thing to be. We can't spare that view of ourselves, but there's a price tag. And one of the items on the price tag, one of the prices of being a human being stuck here, looking in at myself from here, is that I have condemned myself to death. I'm dying. I'm 93. I'm dying. My shelf life is almost run out. I've condemned myself to death. It's very important to be a human being. It's a very precious thing. It's a very marvelous thing. But let us take into account the price. And it's a high price. I've condemned myself to death when I look at myself from here. But that's not the only place I can look at myself. It's a function of that distance. Nearer to, I'm not a human being. What am I nearer to? All sorts of things. I approach this place here, this center, this insight center. I quote the label on this building, this insight center. I approach it, and I come to UCR, United Cellular Republic. I come to a place where I am where this is revealed to be a united cellular republic, a huge community of little guys called cells, a united cellular republic, more populous, more inhabitants than the United States of America. Little guys called cells. I come to that place. When a millimeter or two from here, I'm no longer a human being. I'm the United Cellular Republic. Very populous, you know. And I come further in. And what do I find, Catherine? What do we find when we come right as far as we can in? What we find. I'm looking at what I find right here. And I find at this time space. Nothing but space for you friends. Nothing. And I go further out and further out and further out. And I find a cosmos. So what is at the center here? What is at the center of each one of us? Depends. What is perceived to be at the center depends on the range of the observer. And the human condition is to be stuck there. Stuck there. I'm only human after all. Ha ha ha. Come on. You know, let's catch up with the times. Let's catch up with the Buddha. Let's catch up with Einstein and say what I am depends on the position, the range of the observer. And to be stuck at the human level is to condemn oneself to death and many other things, isn't it, Catherine? What else?
It's to condemn oneself to be locked up in a box. Locked up in a little box, closed, separate from the others, afraid of the others, afraid of the world, lost in the world, and mainly a box among many billions of other little boxes, and in a situation of confrontation.
Yes, ding dong, you know, bang, bang, bang.
Because the boxes are separate.
Yes, we're looking at ourselves from here. And you're looking at Douglas and Catherine from that region where we are face to face, confronting one another, dying, looking at two peepholes and a meatball. Dying, separate, done up in separate parcels.
In a situation of confrontation and of loneliness.
Very lonely.
Very difficult to communicate from one box to another. And this is the origin of many, many problems, isn't it? Difficulty of communication, of understanding. The messages try to get through, but they are very often distorted. And there are lots of misunderstandings which cause lots of conflicts. So this is what we condemn ourselves to when we look at ourselves from outside, from through the other people's eyes, in fact, or through the mirror's eyes. When we look at ourselves like this, we condemn ourselves to all these things. Separation, solitude, fear of death, difficulty of fear of death and of many, many, many other things. Lots of fears and difficulty of communication and confrontation.
Yes, and the trouble is we are, the human condition is to be eccentric, off-center by a meter plus. And I mean the physical distance of a meter plus, to be off-center, looking at it oneself through her eyes and his eyes and his eyes and his eyes, getting awfully worried about what they're thinking, you know. Looking at ourselves from here is to be eccentric. I'm English, and the English have a reputation for being eccentric, somewhat at least in some circles. But I believe the human condition in general is an eccentric one. Now, you weren't always like that. When you were very, very little, when you were a baby in arms, you were concentric. You were not out there saying, "What nice little baby I am." You were resident here. You were not out there, out on a limb, eccentric. And when you grew up a little bit, you joined the human club, and what a price you paid for joining the human club, a club we all must belong to, a precious club, a marvelous club. But this morning, I hope we are withdrawing the outrageous subscription to that club, which is, I am this stuck here. I'm only human. Come on, I'm only human. Which is sheer madness. We're stuck here. And this is our trouble. And how do we get out of this trouble, Catherine?
By coming back home. Coming back to our center. And this is what we suggest, or we invite you to do with us this morning, is coming back to our center, coming back to what, to where we are and what we are and who we are at center.
Insight meditation. And you know the Buddha was up to this, wasn't he? He said, you will not by going come to the place where there is the end of suffering and birth and death, old age and birth and death and suffering. You will not by going come to this place. You will find it quite obviously by the reverse, by coming home. And our business in the next 20 minutes is to come home. And it isn't so difficult as all that. Why? Because we're there anyway. We're coming home to the place which, in fact, we never left. But we got out on a limb and we got stuck. And now we're going to unstick ourselves and come home. And there are many vehicles lined up to take us home, aren't there? And this is one of them.
Yes.
And could we just do a quickie, darling, an experiment. You see, this meeting, for our money, is not about blah, blah, blah. Not talk. It's about action. It's about making a journey, a real physical journey. I stress physical journey. Or it's psychological, it's spiritual. It's physical. And it's a physical journey from where we got stuck, looking in from that particular distance which establishes our humanity. From there, it's a journey, a physical journey, home by various vehicles. And Catherine will conduct us. She's a conductor of the vehicle.
Yes, conductor of many, many kinds of vehicles. We are a kind of travel agents, you know. And we're trying to help people to come from one place out there to this place here. And, I am the bus conductor. So we're going to use this pointing finger, to help us see things clearly, you know. When you want to see something, you point at it. When you want to show something to someone, you point at it, don't you? So will you please kindly use your pointing finger and point at the ceiling now. And what I'm asking to you is just to look and see what is the case, what is given here and now on present evidence. We are pointing and looking at things which have shape, colors, solidity, and which are not, certainly not, eternal. Now, right now we're pointing at this ceiling, which is, as you can see, an object, solid object, white, that has a color, a texture, and a shape. You can outline this ceiling. It's limited, isn't it? And although it seems to be brand new, it will certainly crumble down someday. It will be reduced to dust. It's not everlasting. Now, bring your finger down and point at the wall or a person.
A friend.
Or Douglas or myself. And you can see again that you are pointing at an object, a thing which is very limited. You can outline this object. It's solid, it has colors, shape, and even if you're pointing at a friend, I am afraid to say that it's essentially perishable. And then now bring your finger down and point at one of your feet. And again, you're pointing, as you can see, on present evidence, you're pointing at an object. Solid, limited, small, colored, with shapes, very definite. You can outline your foot, and perishable. Now, point at one of your thighs. And again, it is an object, isn't it? Solid and limited and colored and perishable. A thing. Now point at your tummy. And again, you can outline your tummy. It's more or less limited, depends. And it's it has colors and shape and solidity. And it's perishable. Now point at your chest. And again, you can outline your chest, again more or less limited, voluminous, and it's colored and solid and perishable. And now, will you please touch your chest with your finger? Put your finger on your chest and bring it forward, 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 go on. What happens to your finger? Well, I suggest you will see, as I do, that your finger slowly disappears, doesn't it? First the nail and then the rest of the finger disappears. And why is it so? Well, I suggest you have reached a frontier. You've reached the frontier that is between the visible world of solid things and the land of everlasting clarity. And this frontier is very definite. You can outline it. You can now do it. Outline your frontier, which goes from your left shoulder to your right shoulder. It's a semicircle. It's a very clear semicircle, beyond which I suggest you can't see any object anymore.
Please don't look at Catherine. Look at what your finger is doing. What's happening there?
And now point at what you're looking out of beyond this frontier. What is looking? What you're looking out of? Now, what can you see?
What are you like on present evidence at 0 millimeters from yourself, not 1 meter plus, but at no distance from yourself? What are you looking out of? What are you at center? Where you're coming from? Only you can say. Only you can say. Go on pointing, please, at this place. Go on pointing.
But look up. Don't look down. Look up and see. See what is your finger pointing at. Is it not pointing at an empty space? Clear, immaculate, and absolutely boundless and wide awake awareness itself. And because this space, this aware space, is totally empty, absolutely empty, see how immediately full it is, full of your finger, pointing finger, and beyond your finger, full of the whole room and all your friends in this room. I suggest that what you are, as Douglas said, at 0 centimeters of yourself, is this wide, wide, clear, immaculate, awake space for the world to happen in. And right now, the world that happens in your space is this room with all your friends in it.
And at center, you are nothing whatever, but an awake nothing. Awake nothing is quite, I almost said quite something. An awake nothing is an extraordinary nothing. Awake nothing, which is capacity for everything. So at center, are you not on present evidence? Nothing exploding into as much of the universe as is on show at this time. It could be a million galaxies. It could be just one person. It could be you in the mirror, that human being. Nothing, everything at center.
And now, while still pointing at what you're looking out of, have a look at your friends in the room and see what they are pointing at, all of them. They are human beings, aren't they? And what are they pointing at, all the others?
They're pointing at a human being, aren't they? Everyone in the room, except you.
Now, if you come back to what you're pointing at on your, within yourself, we see the difference, as Douglas said.
Look at the difference.
Look at the difference.
Astronomical difference.
And to see the difference more clearly, you can use both fingers.
Yes.
And put someone's head on the nail of your outer finger, and then compare. Compare what is on the tip of your outer finger there, and what is in the direction of your inner finger. Is it not absolutely, absolutely different? Where you are, is there anything like what you see on top of other people's shoulders? Is there anything like it here, where you are?
And aren't you absolutely unique in this room? On present evidence.
Each of you.
Now, if all the Americans were in this room here this morning, you would still be the only one who is pointing at this space. And if all the creatures in the universe were here in this room doing this, you would still be the only one who is pointing at this. Yes. You see, one of the prices of being stuck here is that you are lost in the universe. You're absolutely lost. I mean, you're one of 6,000, 7,000 million circulating humans circulating this planet. And the planet is one of millions and millions of planets and planetoids circulating the sun. And the sun is one of millions and millions and millions of stars circulating our galaxy, and the galaxy is one of millions and millions and millions and millions of galaxies. You're lost. When you're stuck here, you are lost. You're not only dying, you're not only condemned yourself to death, you are lost. Your life is meaningless in this vast cosmos. But when you come home here and get unstuck and come home via the United Cellular Republic and the Molecular Republic and all and the atomic stuff and all that, you come all the way home. It ain't like that. It's different, isn't it? It's different. And you are unique in the world. Why? Because you are one with the one. One with the one here. Yes. And we get unstuck and we come back to the place we were at when we were very little. This is a place we know. This is not a strange place. And the joke is that we're, in any case, we're there. The only place you can live from is your center. You see, here you're a human being. Here you're a cellular being. Other places you are terrestrial, galactic, solar, molecular, atomic being. But here at center, you are not any of those beings. You are being. You're not a human being, you're a being. A being. Say, yes, I haven't vanished. I have vanished, and I haven't vanished. I found my being, my center. This is insight. This is insight. This is the center. This is the meditation. This is obvious. And it's a place. You see, the Buddha said, you will not by going get to this place. It was the end of suffering, you know, and I would say the beginning of joy and love and everything our heart desired. You will not by going get there. But you will by coming back to the place you never left. Home. This is home ground. Yes.
And as we said, when we are stuck in our little human appearance out there, then we condemn ourselves to separation. But when we see that here there is absolutely no thing, an absence of things, just clear, pure space, and every one of us can see this within himself or herself, well, there can't be two different spaces. Space is space is space. Emptiness is emptiness is emptiness. There can't be two different ones. So when we see this, we also see that we are not separate. We are one in this awareness that we all are. We are absolutely one. There is no separation, no difference. We are one. And that is very important.
And what is the practice? We're not here to entertain ourselves this morning, but to take something away which we can live. How can we practice this? How can we practice this? Well, we can come back on. There are many, many vehicles lined up to take us back to the place we never left. Many vehicles, and this is always available. Always available. But of course, if you walk down the streets of this city doing this all the time, you might be taken into institutional care, I'm afraid, if you did that. You might be. But there are other ways, more secret, aren't there, Catherine?
But you don't need, once you have done this once, you don't need to do it again. You just have to have a look at your body. You look at your legs, you look at your tummy, you look at your chest. And you see that here you stop. And when you look at, the world begins.
Yeah.
Beyond this line, as I said, there is the world. Nothing else.
You really are busted wide open, aren't you? You know, there's an American word we don't use in England called a jerk. And we jerk ourselves out there, don't we? We are jerks. The human condition is to be a jerk. Is this a rude word? I don't know. We jerk ourselves. We're looking at ourselves there. We're off center, you know. A crazy species. Yes. And so you're really stuck there. And we're loosening ourselves up, and we come home. And we could, we've got another 10 minutes to go on loosening ourselves, darling. Mm-hmm. We've got another 10 minutes. What about the single eye? What about that?
That's one
way home.
It's another way, yes, too.
Another way home.
Yes. As long as you identify with your image in the mirror, you think that you're looking at the world out of two little peepholes pierced in a meatball. And this is the human condition. And if you ask anyone in the street how they look at the world, they will tell you, well, with two eyes. Well,
in their own experience.
Well, is this true? We challenge this too. In fact, we challenge everything we've been told, because we think, Douglas and I, we think we have been taken for a ride. We have been told what to see. You know, since we were about 4, 5, 6 years old, it starts. We are told what to see. They tell us, look in the mirror, that's you. That's you in the mirror, and so on and so on. And slowly, slowly, we identify with this personality which is completely out of center, eccentric. And among all the things we have been told to see is that we are looking at the world out of two eyes. Now, we're going to test this, to check this. Would you please, if you are wearing glasses, take your glasses out off and hold them at arm's length. And if you are not wearing glasses, make a pair of artificial glasses, as I'm doing now. You see, like this. So you see, you make two windows, two little holes, separated by a partition. Well, if it is true that we are looking at the world with two eyes out of two little windows, these two windows should fit us, shouldn't they? So we're going to check. So what you have to do is just to bring these two windows onto you and see what happens on present evidence. What happens? Well, I think when the two windows are coming very near you, you will see that the middle partition is getting very, very hazy, hazier and hazier. And now put them right on. And I'm asking you how many windows are left. Is it not one? Only one? One window? One eye? You've never looked at the world with two eyes, but always, always with a single eye. And now, wait a minute, it's not finished. We're going to explore, to measure the size of this single eye by spreading your fingers apart and your hands, and just explore the space.
Take your glasses off for this one, I think.
And try and see if you can find a limit. Has your single eye a limit? Upwards. Can you find a frame? I can't. Sidewards. Downwards. There's no frame, is there? It's a huge, huge, absolutely immense window without limit. Wide as the world, even wider than the world, clear, immaculate, without glass. You don't have to clean it ever. It's always clear. No cleaning, no insurance, because there is no glass to be broken there. It's empty, empty, clear, huge, immense. And this is what you've been looking out of all your life. And never out of two little things like this.
This is meditation. It's meditation for all the time. It's meditation for the marketplace. And what do I mean by meditation? I mean mindfulness. Is not that the heart of Buddhism? Mindfulness, attention, attention, mindfulness. And it brings one all the way home. And this eye that one has never looked out of anything else with, this single eye, which is wider than the world, don't tell me that is the eye of a human. That is not the human eye. It is the eye of the one seer call it our Buddha nature, our third eye, and we never looked out of anything else. And to deny this, is to fail in attention and to stop being mindful. Let's be mindful, because what we are mindful of here is marvelous news. It really gives one the joy, the flair, I'd say, the thrill. The truth is so good, and lies are so lousy. They are so lousy. And to say, get stuck there, is to live a lie, really. The truth, when we come home, is unbelievably blessed. And don't believe Catherine, don't believe Douglas. Test it. Is it true for you? And I would say that every circumstance in life offers us an opportunity to come home to the truth. Yes, to get unstuck from our humanness and come to our divinity, I would say. Yes, our splendor, what the one we really, really are. And when you have someone in front of you, as I have my dear Catherine in front of me now, what shall I do to come home? I just come home here and see I have disappeared. Not because I'm a nice old Douglas, which I'm not. I'm rather nasty old Douglas. But I see that I have disappeared in favour of my dear Catherine. It's not face to face, it's face to the single eye, this immensity. And this gives love a chance, you know. And when we're stuck out there, we don't give love a chance, because we are not built for loving. We're built solid, ding-dong, bang-bang, war. Yes. Mm. And all the circumstances of life. Another one. In your car. Everyone has a car here. And in your car, you know, be mindful of what's going on. And you will find, if you really look, you are driving California. You see, all the whole scene is on the move, and you are at center here. The stillness from which all the motion of the world is generated. You are the still center of the moving world. Everything is the opposite of what you and I had taken it to be when we got stuck there at a meter away from ourselves. This is un-Buddhist, it's silly, it's damaging, it's fatal, it's death, and it's nonsense.
Maybe, what time is it?
5 minutes we have.
The single eye is very easy to practice in everyday life. You just remember to open the huge window and it brings you back here immediately. Which, you know, when we live out there, we are a displaced person, in fact. And we are very tense. And these two little eyes, the organ eyes, are very tense. As soon as you open, you look at your single eye, you see your immensity here, it brings you back here, and your center of gravity comes back down to its place at center, and you function from here instead of functioning from an imaginary head which you have never seen on your shoulders. Never. You've never seen a head on your shoulder except in the mirror out there.
Of course you've got a head. Where do you keep the darn thing? Of course I've got a face. Where do I keep it? I keep it in you at this time.
In your eyes.
You're welcome to the darn thing. Yeah.
But it ain't here for him.
And just the last thing. You've seen this. If you've done these little experiments, you've seen this. Now, how can you keep it up best, I think? Well, I tell you the way I've kept it up over 60 years, I suppose, or something like that. 70, no, 70 years is to share it with people. Don't push it at people, but when appropriate, share the single eye. Share the getting unstuck and coming home on this vehicle. Share it. Share the fact that you're driving California and the road is flowing through you and the telegraph poles are going like that. This is good news. Good news. Share it. It's not for clasping to your bosom, but for giving away. Don't push it at anyone. That's counterproductive. Please share it. It's so obvious, isn't it? It's incredibly obvious. And we've gone crazy. The species has gone crazy. To be a human is essential. To be stuck on our humanness is death, disaster, warfare, stupid, stupid, stupid. And very un-Buddhist. And I think that's it. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you.